And certainly the Easter miracle is a lot more than just the lily. Now the lilies remind us of the Easter miracle. And we thank the Lord for the beauty of them. And thankful for Mrs. Abercrombie setting up our platform today. But you know, the miracle of Easter is something that happens in your heart when the Lord Jesus Christ makes his death, burial, and resurrection personal to you, and you receive him as your own Savior. It's something that happens at a moment in time, like it did for Jackson Potter. A moment in time when you decide to put your trust in Christ. And that miracle was made possible because of the resurrection. If Jesus had died and remained dead, he couldn't be our Savior. But he died and then rose again. And we sang that song, "Rolled Away, See the Stone is Rolled Away." Did you ever think, why was the stone rolled away? Why was that stone rolled away? Let's think about that for just a few minutes before we leave today. I want to read to you the account in Mark chapter 16. It says, "When the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." They wanted to anoint the body of Jesus. "And very early in the morning, the first day of the week, they came to the sepulchre at the rising of the sun. And they said among themselves, 'Who shall roll us away the stone from the door of the sepulchre?' And when they looked, they saw that the stone was rolled away, for it was very great. And they entered into the sepulchre and saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a long white garment, and they were affrighted. And he saith unto them, 'Be not affrighted. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go your way, tell his disciples and Peter that he goeth forth before you into Galilee. There ye shall see him, as he said unto you.' And they went out quickly and fled from the sepulchre, for they trembled and were amazed. Neither said they anything to any man, for they were afraid." You know, what was that tomb like where Jesus was buried? Most of you know it was probably not a grave in a hole in the ground like we have today. It was hollowed out of a hillside. And there was an opening through which people could go in order to deposit the body. And then a great stone was rolled in front of the opening. Now, in front of this tomb, Jesus' tomb, the stone was huge. It was great because they didn't want anybody to steal the body away. There had been rumors that Jesus himself said that he would rise again from the dead, and they didn't want somebody to steal the body and fake a resurrection. So there was a huge stone there. Also, the Roman guards were placed around the stone, and they were charged to guard that tomb and not to let anybody steal that body away. So why was the stone rolled away? Number one, it was not to let the thieves in. This idea that somebody stole the body of Jesus, that is the oldest lie in the book, as they say. The oldest lie about the resurrection. Where did that lie come from? Well, in Matthew chapter 28, it tells where it came from. Verse 11 says, "Now when they were going, behold, some of the soldiers came into the city, and showed unto the chief priest all the things that were done. And they that were assembled with the elders, and they take counsel, and they gave them large money unto the soldiers, saying, 'Say ye, his disciples came by night and stole away the body while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you.' So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day." So those Roman soldiers, they went and told the authorities what happened. They said, we were struck down by some great power, we don't know what. And then when we saw the stone was rolled away, we went in and his body was gone. And they said, "Hey, don't tell anybody that. Here, we'll give you a lot of money here. We'll pay you off and just say that the disciples came and stole the body away while we slept." That's where the lie came from. Now, I'll tell you, when I think about that, my confidence in God's word increases as I see the ridiculous lengths to which the skeptic will go to try to disprove the resurrection of Christ and to come up with this idea that the lie that somebody stole the body away. Let me give you quickly some reasons why the theft lie cannot be true. First of all, the stealing of the body was the very reason that the soldiers were guarding the tomb. Number two, falling asleep on watch, that was punishable in Roman days by death to the sentry. So if he admitted, hey, I fell asleep on watch, he could be killed for that. So these guys were the finest trained soldiers in the world. He didn't fall asleep on his watch. Okay, they did not fall asleep. Number three, if they were sleeping, then how would they know the disciples stole the body? Did you ever think about that? Oh yeah, the disciples came and took it while we were asleep. Well, how did you know they took it if you were sleeping? Okay, so far-fetched. Number four, at no time were the disciples ever accused by authorities of the crime of stealing away the body. Okay, if they really stole away the body, they would have been hauled in and tried for the crime of grave robbing. But in no time in history were they ever accused of that. Number five, the disciples did not expect a resurrection, and they would have no idea then to fake one. Remember the disciples? When Jesus died on the cross, they got all depressed. Peter said, I'm going back to fishing. He must not have been who he said he was. They didn't understand. They didn't believe. Now, Jesus had told them ahead of time that he would rise again, but they didn't understand it. And so they wouldn't have faked a resurrection by stealing his body away. And number six, the disciples would not have been willing to die a martyr's death for the sake of a lie. We learn that after Jesus went back to heaven, the disciples suffered great persecution, and every one of them but John was martyred, was killed for the cause of Christ. Well, if they knew it was a lie and they had just stolen the body away, they wouldn't have sacrificed their life. Would you die for something that you knew to be a lie? No. So we know the theft is only a lie. And then the last reason, when they got to the tomb, they saw the grave clothes lying where Jesus was. And then the part that was around his head, the Bible calls it a napkin, was perfectly folded right there. Can you picture these people? They come in, they're going to steal the body. Well, before we steal the body, let's go ahead and take the grave clothes off. Shh, be quiet, we don't want the soldiers to wake up. But let's unwrap the mummy here, you know, and get all the grave clothes off. And here's the part on his head. Let's fold that nice and neat here. We got lots of time, they're sleeping. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. The stone was rolled away, not because thieves got in. Why was the stone rolled away? Well, somebody says, well, it was to let Jesus out. No, wait a second. Christ's resurrected body had the ability to pass through the grave clothes. And that's why they lay there. Also, Christ's resurrected body had the power then to pass through the stone or through the tomb, through the wall of the tomb. And we know this because later on, when Christ appears to his disciples, his resurrection body has the ability to just pass right through the wall. In John chapter 20, verse 19, this is after Christ rose from the dead. The disciples are all depressed, and they just gather in this room, and they don't know what to do. They just figure, we'll just get together in this room, and we'll pray, and we'll just ask the Lord, what should we do now? And the same day, at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were, for fear of the Jews, then came Jesus and stood in the midst of them and said, peace be unto you. So here he appears to them in his resurrection body, and the doors are shut because they're afraid if the Jews find us up here, they're probably going to come after us and kill us. So we're going to keep all the doors locked, and Jesus appears right in the midst of them. And then again, after 8 days, the disciples were gathered together within, and this time Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said unto them, peace be unto you. You see, his resurrection body had the power and the ability to pass through material objects. So the stone was not rolled away to let Jesus out. His resurrection power took care of that, no problem. So why was the stone rolled away? Anybody have an idea? The answer is this. The stone was rolled away not to let the thieves in, not to let Jesus out, but to let his followers in afterwards. His followers needed to become believers. You see, they had been following Jesus. They had been going around with him, listening to his teaching. They were his disciples. The word disciple means a learner or a follower. They were learners, they were followers, but they were not yet believers. They did not believe that he was the true Savior. They had not yet put their trust in him to be their Savior. And so they needed to know that this was really true. He had told them about his resurrection ahead of time, but they didn't understand or they didn't believe it. Listen to what he told them ahead of time. He said, Matthew 16, 21, "From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day." So he told them. "And as they came down from the mountain another time, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And while they abode yet in Galilee, Jesus said unto them, The Son of Man shall be betrayed into the hands of men, and they shall kill him, and the third day he shall be raised again. And they were exceeding sorry." You see, they heard the part that he was going to be killed, and they were sorry, but they missed the part when he told them that he was going to rise again. He said in Matthew 26, 32 to his disciples, "After I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." And then in John 2, the Bible says this, "When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said unto them, that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said." You see, the stone was rolled away so they could go inside and realize it really is true. He rose again. And John 2:22 says, after they saw that, then they remembered. Oh yeah, that's what he was talking about when he said that they would kill him and he would be buried, but the third day he would rise. Now we know. He's risen from the dead. He's alive again. Now we believe. At first they were skeptical, and so he appears unto them and shows them. He tells Thomas, doubting Thomas, remember that? He says, touch my hands. Put your hand in my side. You'll see it's me. Because Thomas had said, I'm not going to believe till I can touch his hands. So Jesus said, okay, come touch my hands. And you can believe it's really me. I really am alive. The stone was rolled away so his followers could go in and know the truth of his resurrection, the proof that he was indeed the Savior of the world. Now these disciples show us something very important. It is possible to know about Jesus and still not be a believer, a true Christian. It's possible to follow the Lord. They followed him for 3 years. It's possible to follow the Lord where you're trying to live like a Christian. You know, go to church, read your Bible, pray, get baptized, treat people right, keep the Ten Commandments. It's possible to follow Jesus and still not be a believer, a true Christian. In the Bible, there's a big difference between discipleship and salvation. And these disciples, they had left their family to follow Jesus, but they had not yet believed on him for their soul's salvation until resurrection day and when he appeared unto them and they knew he was alive again. That's what made their salvation real, to the point where they said, okay, Jesus, you are the Savior. Now we believe. And they put their trust in Christ for their soul's salvation. It's possible to be trusting other things. Some people trust church attendance. Well, I go to church all the time, so I must be a Christian. I must be saved. I must be on my way to heaven. Some people trust remembering the real meaning of Easter, the resurrection. Well, that's good. We ought to remember the real meaning of Easter. We came in here this morning, and the stage was all decorated. You can still see some of the things in the corner. They had an Easter egg hunt here, and there were eggs and bunnies everywhere on the stage. And I'm not against that, but I said, wait a minute. The real meaning of Easter is that Christ rose again. And we got to transform the stage this morning for the worship of the Lord here in this place. But you know what? It's possible to know all about those things, to treat people well, to be a good person, and still not be saved, not be a true Christian, not be on your way to heaven. Because the way to become a true Christian is really clear in the Bible. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And notice it said, believe on, not just believe in. I think a lot of people in America believe in Jesus. Oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. I know he died on the cross. The disciples knew all that. But there comes a time in everybody's life when they need to get to the point where they say, not only do I believe in or believe about Jesus, but now I'm going to believe on Jesus. Romans 10:9 puts it this way, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you'll confess with your mouth, if you'll say with your mouth, Jesus, you really are the Lord. You are the one who died for me. I'm a sinner. I can't get to heaven on my own. You told me in the Bible, all of us have sinned. I try to be good, but Lord, my goodness can't get me there, or you wouldn't have had to die. And we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We say, Jesus, you're the one that died for me. I'm a sinner. I need you. And folks, it's not just some magic words, because then the verse says, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Now, you can believe it today because we've talked about it straight from the Bible. It's what God told us in God's Word. It's not just what the Baptist Church says. It's what God says in the Bible. You believe that God raised him from the dead. That shows that our sins didn't conquer him. When he paid for our sins, he conquered them. He came back from the dead. He's the only one that can save your soul. He died for everybody. But you've got to receive him as a free gift. You can't earn it. You can't work for it. The Bible says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. And when you come to the point when you understand, yes, Jesus did die for me. I am a sinner. He paid for my sins so I wouldn't have to pay for them. I wouldn't have to spend eternity apart from God. I wouldn't have to miss heaven and end up in hell. I could receive Jesus as my Savior. I believe it. And today I'm putting my trust in Christ to save me. Some of you sitting right in front of me have just done that in the last couple of weeks. I did it when I was 9 years old. I don't remember the exact words I said, but I know talking to the Lord, I said, Lord, I'm a sinner, but Jesus, you died for me. I can't get to heaven by being my own good little kid. I've got to trust you and you alone. And I don't remember the exact words, but I said, Jesus, today I want you to be my Savior. That's why the stone was rolled away. So the Easter miracle can happen in your heart. So the Easter lily can bloom in your heart. You can be saved. You can receive Christ as your Savior. Now, Jackson just did it in the drama. It was just a play. And his dad did it in the drama. And many in King George's village did it. But that's just a drama. It's my prayer that many people in Northport and Port Charlotte and Venice will hear the message of Christ's salvation and decide to receive Christ as their own Savior today. Perhaps the Lord brought you here today. And if you got honest, you'd say, you know what, Pastor Needler, this is kind of new to me. I thought you could get to heaven by being good enough. But it makes sense. I've got to put my trust in Christ as my Savior. In just a few minutes, we'll give you an opportunity to do that. And perhaps you've come today and you say, you know, I've done that. I'm sure I'm on my way to heaven. But you know what? If that kid, Jackson Potter, could gather the whole neighborhood to tell them about how he got saved and tell them to do it too, I need to be doing something like that. I don't know if the Lord wants you to gather the whole neighborhood. Maybe he does. But he wants you to be spreading that good news of Easter. He wants you to be telling other people, because how else are they ever going to find out? Praise the Lord for the faithful Sunday school teacher who told Jackson, and then Jackson who told his neighborhood. Who can we tell? And perhaps at the end of the service, during our time of invitation in just a moment, some of you who've been saved already and you're positive you're on your way to heaven, you'd like to make your way to the front during the invitation and say, just have a time of prayer at the front row or here and say, Lord, I got to tell some people. I got to get serious about it. Because it's a great story. I can't keep it to myself. Let's all bow our heads and close our eyes. In just a moment I'll pray, but with your heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around, let me ask you to consider, Has that Easter miracle taken place in your heart? Are you sure of it? Have you received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Oh, He died for you, but you've got to receive Him. Maybe you thought it was by good deeds that you could be saved, but now it's starting to make sense. And you'd say, by an uplifted hand, Pastor Needler, I'm not sure that I've ever received Christ as my Savior the way the Bible says, the way you're talking about. I'm not sure, but if I could be sure, I'd like to be. Don't embarrass me, Pastor Needler. Don't call my name. Folks, nobody's looking around. But if that's you, would you just slip your hand up right now? I'm not sure I'm saved, but I'd like to be. I need that Easter miracle in my life. Maybe you were trusting your own goodness and you realize now it's only through Christ. Anybody like that? You put your hand up, put it right back down. I'll just say thank you and you put it right back down. Then how many would say, Pastor Needler, I know the stone was rolled away so everybody could know the truth of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But I've not been doing what I ought to do about telling other people. Pastor Needler, I want you to know, I want you to pray for me, and I want you to know that with the Lord's help, I want to try to tell some folks who need to hear. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? I'm going to try to tell some folks who need to hear. Thank you. Put them back down. Anybody else? Not been telling folks like I ought to. I need to tell the good news. I need to spread. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? I'll pray for you. Let me encourage you, if you need the Lord as your Savior, or if you raised your hand just a moment ago saying you need to tell some folks, let me encourage you to respond during our time of invitation. Make your way to the front and have a special prayer time just between you and the Lord. It'll make it more memorable for you, and the Lord will give you extra grace because He gives grace to the humble. Father, I pray that You will finish the work that You've started in our midst here this morning. I pray that if there are those who are not certain of their own salvation, that they would make their way to the front and allow us to show them right from the Bible how they can receive You, just like Jackson Potter did in the drama. And then, Father, for those of us who've done it, I pray that we'll be committed to spreading the good news of the gospel, that we'll tell others, that we'll look for the opportunities that You place in our path every day, and we'll spread the good news of Easter. Lord, be thorough with us during this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together with our heads bowed and eyes closed. If the Lord's worked in your heart as the piano begins to play, let me encourage you to just make your way to the front. I'll turn my microphone off in case you need to say something to me. If you don't need to say something to me, just make your way to the front and have a time with the Lord. Let's all have our heads bowed and eyes closed.